This is the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you've got a quarter of an hour for us, then we've got 15 minutes for you. So grab your skinny, venti, double whip mocha, your cup of tea with milk and two sugars, or something with bubbles if that's your fancy, and spend the next 15 minutes with us here at the Atlantic Voice. I'm Zeph, this is the AV15. I'm here at the PG County Trap and Skeet Center. I'm here with Reese Arthur. Reese Arthur is the lead instructor for Shooting Star Shotgun Sports. You're the owner and the head instructor. Reese, tell me about how you ended up here teaching people to wave a shotgun around.
Well, I started shooting as a young man, around 12 years old. My father took me out. We learned how to shoot clay targets, and ever since then, the passion's been deep in my heart.
Were you born in the country, or were you a city boy? I mean, obviously, I myself was born in East London, so it's not something you're exposed to when you're younger.
Correct. I grew up right off of 16th Street in the District of Columbia. Grew up as a child in Silver Spring, so I'm an urban child with country roots. My name is Reese, R-H-Y-S, so I'm obviously a Welshman in an American body, but the passion must run deep in my family because all my family does this, and it's one of the things that we enjoy to do together, and it's just a passion that I enjoy sharing with all the folks that come here to our range.
Why did you get into instruction?
I got an instruction about 1990. I saw one individual trying to help his wife one day and realized that there was a better way. And I knew that there was some instruction that we could take to become certified instructors and be able to teach effectively and evenly. And so I've taken all the instruction certification classes. I'm a level 3. That's the highest you can go. I'm the only level 3 that teaches in Maryland. And these classes have helped me learn how to communicate and become a better instructor to get my students to hit their targets better and faster.
What's the most rewarding thing about being an instructor?
Watching your student hit their first target. There's nothing more amazing than that. To see their eyes light up, to see the smile on their faces, to see their overall reaction, that's the reward you get out of teaching.
Now, in the interest of full disclosure, I need to tell all our listeners, I've taken, Reese has instructed me, and as a semi-endorsement, I hit more targets now than I used to. But more importantly, I feel I'm very stylish. I look like a cross between Davy Crockett and Downton Abbey. Talk to me a little bit about the style of this all.
The style is very important. All you have to do is go to the London Shooting School or go up to Glen Eagles in Scotland and see that the attire is part of the experience. We do that here in America too, but not as much as the folks in the UK tend to enjoy. But there is something to be said about putting on a tie, a nice shirt, a jacket, and some knickers and some flash to make it go out and enjoy the whole experience.
So as part of your instruction, obviously you work with all level of students, complete beginners, obviously ladies and gentlemen who have already shot for a while. Do you find working with either type of student is more personally rewarding to you?
I have students of all levels, you're correct. I really do still enjoy working with beginners because of, again, the reaction that you get, that they get from hitting their first target. But we also have intermediate shooters. We have advanced shooters that compete. And it's nothing more rewarding to have one of your competition students email you on a Sunday evening and tell you that they won their tournament that they just participated in over the weekend. So every type of student requires that I wear a different hat and have a different approach. Like when you came out with your mom, I had to get you shooting better than mom.
Yeah.
I don't know if we got that accomplished or not. But what a great lady to see her come out and shoot and enjoy some time with you together. So every lesson and every student is different, and I need that. I enjoy that.
Now, you just mentioned my mother there. She gets a lot of shout-outs on the podcast with my partner Eric and myself. One of the reasons I was attracted to this is because, and my mother won't mind now. In fact, she loves it when we talk about her on the show. She shoots live birds back in the UK, and I brought her here when I was here for a lesson, and I brought her with me to shoot targets for the first time. Talk to me a little bit about the different sporting disciplines. Rather than, you know, shooting game, what are the different sporting disciplines that go on, for example, here at the shooting center?
Okay, well, the clay target sports, in my opinion, really were created as a way for the common person to be able to go out and enjoy the same thing as shooting live birds. In the old days, if you
Let me interject. I know in the UK and everywhere, shooting live birds on organized shoots is very expensive.
Yes.
So this is a much more affordable way to get into.
And if you have the means and the social connections, you can go to the big estates and dress up, as we mentioned, and go out and experience shooting live birds. But many of us can't do that. So the clay target sports became very popular. Here in America, we shoot American skeet. We shoot American trap. We also started shooting the sporting clays, which actually originated in UK as a way for the common person to be able to go out and shoot like those that were shooting live birds. And once it came to America, now we're Americans, so we can't leave anything alone. We have to bastardize everything. And so the sporting clay sport came over here in about the mid-80s from the UK, and we took it and ran with it. We love, this is the fastest growing shooting sporting clays. And if you go across our country now, there are more sporting clay courses opening up all the time, and everyone's really enjoying moving from skeet trap into sporting. With that said, we also now are embracing the international versions of all the games. So we shoot international trap, which is bunker we have here.
Now, trap is where the clays are flying away from you.
Correct.
Okay.
And we also do international skeet here, and that's where skeet targets are crossing.
Okay.
And we also do the international version of sporting clays called FITASC, F-I-T-A-S-C. And that is also one of the fastest growing clay target shooting sports that's occurring here in the United States.
Are all these sports Olympic sports? There is some shooting sports in the Olympics.
Only the Olympic skeet,
okay,
and the Olympic trap, which is we call bunker,
okay,
is actually shot in the Olympics. The sporting clays is variable, so there's no average, no par. It'd be a little difficult for them to come up with a course that would be consistent with other courses.
I want to quickly explain. Reese just used the word par there. I always equate sporting clays similar to golf in that you have a layout of, you know, anything up to 10 to 20 stations, and you walk from station to station, and then the clays are delivered different ways, and it is a similar experience to golf where you're out walking around and...
Correct. Every hole is different.
Yeah.
Every station is different. It's an interesting note, used to run golf courses for a living.
Oh.
Well, I'm a Welshman. I mean, there's a lot of green in my blood. And
a lot of rugby and season.
There you go. And so the golf... It can be extrapolated into the sporting clays because we do try to give you the same experience where you go from hole to hole or station to station. Each station has a different variety of targets, and it's after you're done, you basically have shot a round.
You yourself obviously still shoot as a hobby, obviously, and do you still compete? Is that correct?
I made the 2012 All-Maryland team.
Oh, wow.
So I still compete.
In what discipline?
In sporting clays.
Okay.
I'm a master class shooter. And so that means that you go through all the different classes and you achieve a certain level of competence and you compete against those of your same skill level. So if you want to try doing sporting clays and you want to get into a competition, you can compete with people that are on your own level.
Obviously, you competed in sporting clays. But let me ask you a question. For your own personal enjoyment, when you're just out, is that your favorite discipline or do you just enjoy... You have your shotgun, you're looking at the clays. Do you enjoy it at that base level, or is sporting clays a more favorite discipline for you rather than the skeet or the trap?
I enjoy it on a basic level.
Okay.
Here we are out in the morning. It is a beautiful day. We're outside. We're lucky to be able to have the opportunity to come out and do recreation like this. So it doesn't matter to me if it's skeet, trap, sporting clays. I enjoy the people. I think sporting clays gives me a little more opportunity to be a little more social. In skeet and trap, they tend to concentrate very hard. Like if you were on a putting green and you were putting, I would not be talking while you're doing that. But out here in sporting clays, if mom's beating you, we're going to tell you that your shoes are untied or to make it entertaining so that we could have just a fun time while we're out taking the day.
You talked a little bit when people come to you to take lessons and you talk about the enjoyment you get from especially watching new shooters hit their first targets and the excitement they have. Can you sum up for me in a couple of sentences your overall philosophy to instructing?
Okay. Yes. I mean, for us out here, the big thing that we want to do is keep everyone safe. So when we get a student out here, we obviously make sure that the safety rules are always followed and everyone walks away having a great experience. Two, we want to make sure that we fit them into a proper size firearm so that they're comfortable and they're having a firearm in their arms that's capable and suitable for the right size for them. We get them shooting targets as fast as we can. The enjoyment is breaking the bird. Then we try to make sure that all the students, at least when they leave from their first lesson, know how to come back and shoot on their own. That's part of the experience of being able to learn how to shoot and enjoy this great facility that we have here and get them to come back. And that's the full circle that we try to put together.
I'm here right now, obviously out at the instruction station that Reese have. A golf cart's just gone by with a gentleman loading up clays. I guess it's like anything. You're setting up the whole arena, for want of a better word, for a day's worth of shooting.
Correct. And it's a nice day. We hope that we get a big crowd out today.
Is there a time of year when it becomes more popular than anything else? I mean, but I've come and shot with you in the cold in January with a woolly hat on and a coat. But is there a time of year when you find that you are completely booked up with people wanting their lessons and instruction?
Yeah, there's something about a cool fall day with a little frost in the morning and a crisp in the air that makes people want to come out and do this. Many people that hunt would like to come out in the fall and get ready for the upcoming hunting season. We want hunters to be proficient, so we do have lessons that are geared towards those kinds of folks that want to come out and get practice up so they're safe in the field and effective hunters. But in Thanksgiving, which is an American holiday here where we eat turkey, and I don't know what it is about turkey and shooting, but that is probably our busiest weekend.
Let me ask you a question about the relationship between shooting targets, shooting clay targets, and shooting live birds. Are they similar disciplines, or is there an inherent difference just in that the bird is an animal that flies on its own, it's going to turn left, it's going to turn right, whereas a clay target, once it's fired, it's traveling in a direction. Is there a moment where the two things sort of become divergent in terms of how much
yes,
is to be gained?
Yes, typically with clay targets, you know where they're coming from, you know where they're going, they have a consistent flight path. But clay targets start off fast and then go slow, whereas live birds tend to fly unpredictably. They start off slow, then they go fast. But what we teach here at the center is a basic type of shooting instruction that translates easily into the field. A lot of my training is an English background, so when we talk about handling a gun, we're going to get you to the point where you can easily move, mount, and shoot. You're going to look at the target. The gun is going to go to what you see. And these practices that you will learn in our classes will translate immediately out to the field. So what we teach here does not contradict what you would do in the field or what you do in clays. It's a very English background of moving your hands to the target, and what you see the gun will go towards, and that's the whole fundamental thing that we want you to practice when you're out here shooting.
This is going to sound like a very serious question, but actually it's not. I realize that, and we don't do politics on the AV shows or the Atlantic Voice, and so I understand that for many people guns at the moment, it's a very controversial topic. For me as a person, I'd never really handled a firearm until just recently. Now I've got into it, I can't get enough of it. What would you say to someone who came to you and wasn't sure if they wanted to do this? What would you say? Obviously, you talked about the joy of shooting your first target. But what else? How would you sell your activity in the same way that a golf instructor is going to say, oh, playing golf, it's a nice walk, social event. You know, sell this as a hobby for someone.
We actually do this all the time, and we have corporate groups or young professional groups that will bus, you know, folks in for a session. Some come with, you know, an attitude that they're not sure about what they're about to experience. But if we keep it safe, we show them that, you know, we are responsible, we're not killing any animals, we are doing this in such a fashion that you can enjoy yourself. This is very similar to playing a video game in reality. Once we get you hitting targets, once we get you safe and comfortable, then we find that the people that might be a little against it are now on our side of the fence.
Yeah.
And once they see what we do and what the fact that we're not associated with some of the other, you know, things with pistols and rifles, that we are a completely different group. And they will embrace that. And once they learn that they can come out and enjoy this, and they can only take an hour, hour and a half. See, golf takes too long now.
Oh, yeah.
And many people want to spend time with their family, and they don't have that much time to dedicate to it. Well, here is something that you can do in an hour and a half, get back in the car, go home, and still spend time with family. So it's a good match.
It's wonderful. One thing I've noticed, and we talked earlier in the interview about, you know, back in the UK and in Europe, the culture of bird hunting and how it's expensive. I come here and young, old, male, female, it seems very, what's the word, democratic in the way that it's so open. Like, anyone can try it. And that's a fascinating thing to me.
And we need that. And yeah. If you look at my website, you look at the pictures in there, you'll see that there's a lot of flavor in those pictures. And we need that. I need that to make sure that people know that everyone's welcome here. We find that more gals are getting into the sport. It's great to see couples out here. But this is also a tremendous family activity.
Yeah.
If you have a son and the son is a teenager, you know how hard it is to get the son to want to do things with the family. The son will always want to come out, and the daughter, to come out and do this with the family. So it becomes a family thing. We also coach the university teams here. And people often are very surprised that University of Maryland has a club where they shoot. Virginia Tech has a team. Radford has a team. George Mason has a team. And they all do this. Harvard has a team. Yale has a team. Navy has a team. And they all compete on an intercollegiate level. And it's really fun to see the young folks work up from a youth program to a college team and maybe even the Olympics.
One last question for you. Obviously, you have a job that intersects with your hobby. What do you do away from shooting, away from your job, to relax?
Well,
what are some of your other passions?
As I showed you this morning, I was watching the blog and the old cars. I showed you the pictures of my Avanti, which is an older Studebaker, and the 49 pickup, and also this 1966 Studebaker, which I have, which is the last year it was made. So I have a passion for old automobiles and the history that goes along with it. Just like you do, and it's always fun to meet people out here and find out the commonalities that we all have and make great friends.
Oh, terrific. Well, Reese, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. There'll be more information on the blog in terms of finding out more about Reese and how you can get in touch with him if you're ever in this area and you want to take some lessons. In the meantime, I'm going to put on my Davy Crockett hat, and I know some of those clay targets are about to be running scared. Reese, thanks for being on the AV15.
Thank you.
This has been the AV15, a production of the Atlantic Voice podcast. If you'd like to be on the AV15, please send us an email at atlanticvoice@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice, and all our episodes, whether it be the AV15 or the podcast itself, can be found on iTunes. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.